All right, let's go right to the Word, Matthew chapters 16 and 18, and we're going to just go into a bit of a different direction as I shared with you in the email yesterday. I want to talk to you about what is actually conditional promises of God that contain the words if, or at least it contains the word if, and sometimes the word then, but we'll talk about that in a minute. In our opening verse here, verse 18, Matthew chapter 16, Jesus is talking to Peter. Peter, as I shared with you last week, knows who Jesus is. In other words, he's more than a prophet, more than a teacher, and so forth. Jesus says to him in verse 17, "Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father, which is in heaven." This is how we know the Lord, by the Spirit of God. The text of Scripture, of course, but still you need the Holy Spirit to make this become real. In fact, yesterday's devotion, if you're still reading them, and some are, the title of the devotion was that the Bible was written for instruction, not information. We get information. That's just a side issue of when we're studying Scripture. It's given to us as instructions. We need the Holy Spirit. And then verse 18, our springboard text says, "And I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, Petros," a little stone or a stone that came out of a stone. "And upon this rock, Petra, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." And then if you read verse 19, it talks about the authority given to not only Peter, but to the church, to believers. And so we start there. And the subtitle of this message, underneath the main title of Discovering the Lost Church of Jesus Christ, is Promises and Principles Based on the Word If. So if you're taking notes or for the sake of identifying the tape, it's Promises and Principles with a colon, if, in quotation marks. Promises and Principles, if. And that's a little tiny word, a little conjunction that people often miss in connection to claiming a promise of God. Whether it's peace, serenity, you know, you need to be calmed down and comforted, or finances, or anything at all. We often miss the fact that these promises are precluded by the word, the conjunction, if. For instance, 2 Chronicles 7:14, which is quoted frequently around here. "If my people, which are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways," that's repentance, "then will I hear from heaven. If my people," and there's a short list there, "will seek me, humble themselves, turn from what they're doing, which I have told them not to do," and I'm going to include, as I have been lately, it's very important in the time in which we live, "and do the things that I've said to do. To not do what Christ has said to do, or God has said to do, is sin." It's the same sin as doing something he said not to do. Not doing something he said to do is the same thing. It's no different. Don't look at it as a lesser sin, because it's not. We must do what Christ said to do, or it's counted to us for sin. In any case, it's the word if in 2 Chronicles 7:14 happens to have the word then, if and then. Now, we could all understand this word if, but let me just give it to you just for the sake of a definition from the dictionary. If is introducing a condition. This is the dictionary definition. Introducing a conditional clause. Now, many of us here have signed contracts for various reasons. I'm always signing my name on something that I trust my wife or somebody else who hands me it has read it. Anyway, in contracts and covenants, there are conditions to the covenant. And here the word if, dictionary definition, the definition of our lexicon, introducing a conditional clause on the condition or supposition that in the event that. If is a conditional clause. Here's some synonyms on the word if. On condition that, provided that, presuming that, supposing that, assuming that, on the assumption that, allowing that, as long as, given that, with the provision or proviso that, with the understanding that, if and only if, contingent on, in the event that, allowing that, and though if is a self-explanatory word, I think it should help to look at these synonyms so that we can broaden our understanding of what that word if means. God has made promises that it's written here in the Word through the Apostle Peter that the book says are exceeding great and precious promises. What that particular verse does not say, but so many thousands of others do say, is the word if. On the condition that if my people, of course that's Israel, the immediate context is Israel, if my people Israel, that are called by my name, humble themselves, seek my face, turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven. And by the way, that verse is connected with the rains being shut up, a drought. We could reverse it and say the rain's pouring forth and there's floods and so forth. That God is saying, this is me, I control everything, everything. As we saw Wednesday night, as we went through Job, how God permitted Satan to attack him. And the idea is very clear. Satan says to God, sure, he loves you and praises you and he walks so uprightly because you've hedged him in. So that hedge had to be taken down by God. When Satan asked, well, Satan actually charged Job with being kind of a spoiled believer. And by the way, while we're passing through this, let me just say this and remind you of this again. The Christianity of today that is presented to us, and it's not only America anymore, but I'll stay with America, is a Christianity that tells us that on believing on Christ, everything is just going to go right. And it does, according to what God calls right. And so there's a measure of suffering, a measure of rejection, a measure of depression. One of the reasons that we had such good success in our renewed class with depression and anxiety, which were the primary topics, though mental illness came into it as well, is because that's part of life for everybody. Now, some suffer more, that's obvious. Everybody gets depressed. Everybody's anxious. And if you're not, and you say, not me, not ever, there's something wrong. Anyway, if is a condition, it's presupposing that you are doing what God has told you to do and flipping it again, not doing what God has told you not to do, and so forth. It's a presupposition. And this is the reason why so many people stop going to prayer meetings, if they ever went at all, is because, number one, they figure it to be a polite courtesy they give to God, which God is, I'm sure, very grateful for, that he gives us everything and we say, we'll come and we'll pray and you'll feel better, God. But the reason that people don't pray is because they don't really believe that they're going to get what they're asking for. The word is clear. Jesus is clear. It still challenges me at this age. And I'm praying in my private time that God, before I leave this planet, because I know I'll see it in the next world, I want to be able to see these things. I've seen healings. I've seen doctors' reports turned around. We had a case years ago of a woman who had degenerative discs, tremendous pain. Came into the office on a weekday, quoted the scripture, called for the elders, anoint with oil, and I said, fine, but the condition is that you must believe, and we will believe with her. Anointed with oil, went back, got more x-rays, went to the neurologist. The neurologist held up two sets of x-rays and said, I don't know what has happened. He said, but I can tell you right now, the woman in this radiograph and this radiograph is not the same person. Well, of course, it was the same person. He couldn't explain what had happened. Something, we had a prayer like that once years ago with a woman had a foot problem. Prayed for her, and the doctor said, this is the exact same thing. Say, what happened? They said, well, they prayed for me down at the church. He says, well, tell them to keep on doing it because it's working. But the greatest challenge, at least for me, is to see God move in the land of the living. To see God move now. A great awakening of who Christ is. We know who he's not, and he's not Louis Farrakhan. I watched his speech, and it was the worst one yet, where he's talking about Jesus came 2,000 years too early because his main mission was to exterminate the Jews. You should watch it just for information's sake to know what we're up against. And they hear amens coming from the wherever people are sitting. You don't see them. Savior's Day, that was the what the podium said. And then he says, I am Jesus. I am the Messiah. We could say idiocy, but the truth of it is, this is the things that Jesus talked about and the apostles of false teachers coming along and being so bold and people amending him, believing it. For many shall come and say that I am Christ and shall deceive many. My word to you is don't you be one of them. There's only one Christ. It's the one that's in this book and he's going to come again. To raise the living and the dead, to judge the living and the dead, to be crowned King of Kings and Lord of Lords. That's
the Jesus
that we know, but we know him by the Holy Spirit, who makes these scriptures alive. If my people. So let's just look at a few examples. We no doubt won't be able to get through all the scriptures I have written, but you're going to have to turn in your Bible a little bit, if you don't mind. Matthew chapter 4, verse 23. Let's start there. Mark chapter 4, verse 33. Where we're going to see the first, well, it's not the first verse, but it's our first verse. Where we're going to see the word if. Mark 4, 23. And this bears on to the verse that I just gave you about the Holy Spirit, and we need him. Verse 23 says, if any man hath ears to hear, and I'm going to emphasize the next pronoun, him, let him hear, let her hear. Because even though everybody has these oracles here, right and left, or most everybody, they can physically hear a message, but they can't hear it spiritually. Not everyone can hear it, the truth of it. So here Jesus is pointing out that because a preacher preaches, including himself or starting with himself, doesn't mean that everybody listening understands. Okay, so that's one area. Let's go over to Revelation chapter 13. If any man have ears to hear, let him hear. Now, in Revelation chapter 13, let's look at verse 9. If any man have an ear, let him hear. Well, it's the same thing, obviously. And so what we need today, right now, right this moment, before we go any further, is for you to pray that you have an ear to hear. I've shared with you this, and many of us were raised in some form of Christianity. Not all of us, but many of us were raised in some form of Christianity. And we come, especially after we read the Bible for a while, with the assumption that we already know what it means. And I told you last week, I don't do that. I never approach any verse of the Bible already saying, no sense reading that because I know what it says. I look at it again, I examine it again, study it again, and you need to do the same. But we need to pray, you need to pray right now, God, let me have an ear to hear, if then. Because we don't want to live a life that's a theory. And again, in this age in which we live, the only way we can battle the evil spirits that are coming through people like Louis Farrakhan is by the power of the Holy Spirit, is by God coming forth and demonstrating. Remember, when Jesus' apostles did signs, and these signs in Mark 16, these signs shall follow those that believe, and it goes to raising the dead and healing the sick and all of that. The signs are given to point, well, first of all, the obvious, sick people need to be healed, but they point to Jesus. They are the marks of authenticity, that this Bible wasn't written by man, as so many say. It was written by God himself, but the only way that we can prove that is through our lives, through the visitation of God, for God to actually show up, for God to actually do things and convince those who have yet to be convinced. Look at verse 15 in Hebrews chapter 3. So let's go over to Hebrews chapter 3. Again, the message is on promises and principles, if Hebrews chapter 3. Is this a lot of work for you to have to turn? Because I can tell you how you're going to have a happy day. And someone said to me, how does Joel Osteen preach without notes? Are you kidding me? That's easy. He's not saying anything. If I go to my grave as a martyr, just take good care of my family. Hebrews chapter 3, verse 15, while it is said today, well, that doesn't put it off till tomorrow. Yesterday's past. While it is said today, if ye will hear his voice, harden not your hearts as in the provocation. That's relating to Israel's continual rebellion in the wilderness. We don't have food. And honestly, if you really read it, it was a hard time for this nation. But God, you know, it just shows you how God takes our words seriously. They're constantly complaining. And many times pointing at Moses. We told you we didn't want to leave Egypt. We told you not to bother us, which is not particularly true. Slaves for 400 years, they're now saying, we wanted to be slaves, which that wasn't particularly true either. Just that when God led them out of Egypt, it was a hard way. When are we going to get bread? Well, they got it every day, delivered to them. Do you get bread delivered to your house every day? I don't know. My wife goes out and buys and does all the shopping. It comes in. But we don't have it delivered to our house every day. There was a time in our country they would deliver milk to your house. And maybe they still do some places. But the point is that God delivered bread every day. They walked for 40 years, and even their shoes didn't wear out. Any of you got a 40-year-old pair of shoes? Well, I think some of you do by looking at you, but probably time to get a new pair. But if God keeps repairing them for you, no need. They ate all the time. You know, it looked like there was no water. But God told them, I will bring you through the desert. Let me stop there for a moment and tell you that God says in Psalm 23, one of the greatest psalms in the Bible, no doubt, the pearl of the Psalms. David wrote, we know the Holy Spirit wrote, though I go through the valley. Ever been in the Lincoln Tunnel? Ever think about all that water that's on top of that tunnel? And all the pressure, if there's one little flaw in that tunnel, that you're going to be floating in that tunnel? I have. Ever think about going up in a plane? Same principle. What happens if the pilot is drunk? And some of them have been. Or surgeons, too, operate drunk or high. Interesting world. Okay. So for us, God didn't say, you know, I'm going to take you to the valley, then you're on your own. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, because thou art with me. Amen. Though I walk through the valley, we're going through. In Isaiah, he talks about going through the fire, and he talks about going through the water. But let me just remind you of this. It's not easy. Let's go to Moses in Exodus. Let's look at him standing on the edge of the Red Sea. Of course, he had no idea either how this was going to work out. God didn't give him a map. God didn't write the book of Exodus so Moses could read the next chapter to see how it turns out. He was living it, just like we are in our personal lives. He's on the edge of the Red Sea. God has done miracles in Egypt. Behind are the chariots of the Egyptians and Pharaoh. And naturally, the people were very frightened. There was no place to go. So God parts the Red Sea, and he says to Moses, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. Now, let me tell you very candidly, to stand still while the Egyptians are coming up behind you, and the Red Sea is in front of you, and there's no place to go, and if God does not come through, there will be no victory. Yeah. And that's when faith is really faith. When it's tested, your faith is tested every week. I'll tell you how. And you don't know it. Pastor writes to you, now my new line is, be punctual. Be present. Serve the Lord with your tithe and your offering. But you say, oh, I wonder what he's up to. I ain't up to nothing. If I wanted to make money, I'd get out of the pastorate. I want to see the gospel go forth to the nations. You can't do that. I can't call up the radio station. You say, you know who this is? This is Ray Barnett. Oh, you have all the time you want for free. I don't get a free meal at the diner. Unless Bernie Sanders gets selected. Or Cortez, Ocasio-Cortez, or who knows? There's so many wackos out there now. Let me throw this in at no extra cost. There is no such thing as a free lunch. Okay. So we look to God to take us through the valley, through the water, through the fire. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego go into the fire, and the fire doesn't consume them because there's one standing in there with them who looks like the Son of God, who was the Son of God, who delivered them. They came out without any smoke, on their clothes. Nebuchadnezzar then proclaimed that the God of Israel, he is the one true God. And he was, and he still is. All these nations and all these people, including these Americans and congresswomen and men who are now coming up against Israel, it will be a very, and I wrote this on the social media to a group of people. I said, the day is going to come that God's going to judge you for what you have said and what you have done. Touch not my anointed. That's speaking about Israel. Touch not my anointed and do my prophets no harm. The nation of Israel is going to endure forever. And when Jesus comes, guess where he's going to land first? On the Mount of Olives. Do you know where that's located? It's in Israel. Amen. And every eye shall behold him. Yes. Every eye shall behold him. Yes. And some will be saying, uh-oh. Uh-oh, we should have listened. Too late. You want Farrakhan for your Savior? Take him. I'll take Jesus. Amen. Give me Jesus. Yes. Give me Jesus. Yes. Give me Jesus. Yes. Through the valley, through the water, through the fire. But the key word is if today you hear his voice, don't harden your heart. I started with the tithes. So people always talk about, you know, they can't and they can't afford it and all that stuff. The principle is that, A, God loves a cheerful giver. The principle is what we sow, we reap. You know, people want friends. You got to be friendly and smile and stick out your hand. Hey, how you doing? Morning. Try just saying good morning to everybody you meet. It won't always be so pleasant. But the majority of people will, well, if you try it in New York, which I've done it in New York, where I'm from, people are like, what? What do you mean? So, good morning. Oh, hey, good morning. It's kind of, what would you say? It's kind of catchy. It's like yawning. It catches, like holding the door. And that don't work out so well either, believe me, for everybody. But most times it does. Thank you. You're welcome. Here it says, if you hear his voice today, don't harden your heart. Okay, stay in Hebrews 3. Let's go down to verse 7. Wherefore, as the Holy Ghost or Holy Spirit saith, today, if ye will hear his voice, verse 8, harden not your hearts as in the provocation, in the day of temptation, in the wilderness, if you hear his voice. Now, of course, if you're not hearing his voice, and you're only hearing my voice, not much I can say except to pray. Not much I can advise you to do except to pray. I've often told people, go home and pray. If what this man is saying is true, show it to me. That's how I prayed. I don't trust easily. And after so many years on the earth, people will fail you. People will lie to you. People will promise you the sun, the moon, and the stars. And for me, sometimes I say to myself out loud, how stupid could you be? You made the same mistake again and again, to trust somebody who promised you the sun, the moon, and the stars, and, oh, well, I can't, you know. There's no one to trust more than God, that's for sure. Because God will not fail you. God will not leave you down. God will not. But it's if, my people, if the condition is met, if you hear his voice today, don't harden your heart today. Because you put it off to tomorrow, that heart got a little bit harder. You put it up to the week after, it's a little harder. You say, well, I don't need church and I don't need meetings and all that stuff. And the longer you drift, the harder it is to get back to shore. I told you how I got caught in the current year before last. Now, you would think an imposing mythological figure like myself could overcome the waves, but nobody beats the ocean. And it was pulling me out, and I had that little bit of a panicky feeling like, whoa, I'm not in control. The ocean's in control. Well, I got out of it, okay, by screaming like a girl first and then praying. But that's just his ocean. What's the ocean to God? It's literally a drop in the bucket. When we're talking about God, when God says something, it's going to happen. If God says, you're going to be blessed, nobody, we've seen this Wednesday, right? Nobody can stop the blessing, nobody. If God says you're not going to be blessed, you could go to every pastor on the planet, get counseling, and nothing's going to happen because God has decreed that nothing's going to happen. So we have to decide, which do we want, the blessing or the curse? Chapter 4, same book, Hebrews, verse 7. Again, he limiteth a certain day, saying in David, today, after so long a time, as it is said today, if ye will hear his voice, harden not your hearts. Look, in the small section of scripture right here, chapter 3, chapter 4, we see the same scripture repeated. And why does God do that? The same reason that you do it as a parent, or even with your animals, the dogs particularly, over and over again, repeating the same thing over and over again. Didn't I tell you? This is how it's done. This is how it's done. By the way, that's how we all learn. Repeating it again, repeating it again, repeating it again and again and again. And God teaches us the same way. No, I said, that's the wrong way. Go this way. If you hear his voice, don't harden your heart. If you hear his voice today, because every day that goes by, when you haven't been compliant with the word of God, it becomes more and more difficult. The sin problem, whatever it may be, gets harder and harder to remove. And that keeps us from, minimally, the blessing. But in the end, the Bible tells us it is sin, breaking the laws of God, that keeps us from seeing God. And that we don't want. Come with me to the book of Deuteronomy, in chapter 11. Are there any of you old enough to remember the advertisement, let your fingers do the walking? Through what pages? All right. Let your fingers do the walking through the white pages of your Bible, and you will be better off. At least you'll know what the conditions are. Deuteronomy chapter 11. And let's look down at verse 26, 7, and 8. Behold, I set before you this day a blessing and a curse. It's a choice. A blessing if. Ye obey the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you this day, and a curse if ye will not obey the commandments of the Lord your God, but turn aside out of the way which I command you this day to go after other gods which ye have not known. Simplifying the principle, I think you would get the point. Immediately, God is saying, here's the choice. You want the blessing? If you obey me, you'll get it. But the curse will come if you disobey me. And this is fundamental. This would encapsulate most everything we're reading in the Bible that has an if and a then. If you are my disciples, Jesus said, if you keep my commandments. So if we don't keep his commandments, what would we expect Jesus to say? Even though we say a lot of things, and we're not doing what he says, or doing what he said not to do, either way, Jesus would say, I don't know you. You see, we're fooled by words. And by the way, in the age in which we live, we have a lot of clever people out there, starting in the pulpits of churches and working your way out into the house of this Congress and so forth, that are very clever at words. And if you cannot think critically, say, well, this don't make sense. Let me talk about socialism for just a second. How does this work? First of all, just to look around, and we'll start with Venezuela, but we could look in a lot of different places, Cuba, Soviet Union, China, just go around the planet. And don't tell me there's a difference between communism and socialism. It's only a matter of semantics. So look, there's many of you here that make more money than me. And so I figure if you're going to go to work and I'm going to get 70% of your paycheck, it's all going in the pot. That's a good deal for me if I were a lazy bum, and I'm not. Socialism is an offense to any intelligent person. Free everything. If you're going to college for free, who's printing the books for free? Are the professors going to work for free? Maybe they have free food in the cafeteria. I don't know, but I'll tell you this. If the cook's not getting paid, it won't taste very good. Oh, our doctors are going to go to medical school for free. You know what we're going to get? Butchers. Yeah. We won't get people who will take care of the sheep and, you know, shave them. They'll flay them. My dad used to always say that surgeons bury their mistakes. There's a little bit of wisdom to that. Something went wrong. What? There's no incentive. So what I'm saying is that without the Bible, which does not, by the way, promote socialism or communism, without the Bible, a person with a small amount of intelligence can figure out, this is stupid. But it's not stupid to some of the people who really believe it, because they don't know the heart of man. Take 10 people. Give them each a dollar. Come back 6 months later, and one guy will have all 10 of them. He'll talk everybody out of the other dollar. I mean, let me hold the money. I told you this story last week, right? My buddy's watching. It still holds. They spent the money that we had all thrown into a pot. Why am I reaching for my wallet again? We don't need it. Yeah, they went down the batting cages, so we couldn't get anything to eat, and that was a big joke to them. And that's what happens when we don't comply with God. Because God has promised that no matter what we see or no matter what we hear, no matter what we go through, no matter what we experience, we are going to receive the blessing if. And so much depends on that small little conjunction, if. Well, here's another one for you in the book of James. You have not. Why? Because you didn't ask. Now, why does God need me to ask? He already knows what I need. But he said to ask. Now, there's reasons for that. We won't go into that now. Get us off topic. But he said, ask me, and I will show you great and mighty things which thou knowest not of. But I want you to ask. And, you know, we make up our own religion or a philosophy saying, God knows what I need. But he said, ask. You have not because you ask not. You ask and receive not because you ask amiss, outside the boundaries of Scripture, outside the nature of God and so forth. You receive not because you ask amiss, that you may consume it upon your lusts. So we have these are principles. Principle is a law. Law and principle, same word. And these laws operate by God. If, then, we could see right here in the foothills of these mountains, God show up in a mighty, mighty way. If the people who live in the foothills of these mountains will believe God and say, God, you're no respecter of cities. We always expect God to move in some big city because all the big shots are in the big cities and all the big people are in the big cities, the big numbers. But why is God going to move in a little place like this? I was talking to someone who was born and raised here, overheard their conversation, just decided I'd jump in, felt comfortable enough to jump in. And I've told you this here, for those of you who were born and raised here, this city is a lot like the city I grew up in. It always shoot itself in the foot with chronic negativity. And Yonkers, there was a lot of corruption at the time too. I don't know about now. But then it was a lot of payoffs and corruption. But here, I mean, once the carpet mills left, whew, that was it, you know. What, everybody sat around doing nothing? Oh, so they put in money over here down by the river to pretty it up. And I want to give you my opinion. That's all it is, an opinion. I think that was a good move. Because the first thing that we saw, well, my wife noticed it before I did, was a building that's up here on 30 that goes up past my house that was a carpet mill. I grew up, I told you, in a row house made for carpet mill workers. And I don't think that building's been painted in all the years that I've been here. So you come and they say, come to this city and live here. And people who got a brain say, why? while the natives say, oh, nothing ever happens here. Well, if somebody stands up and says, God will bless us, and they meet the conditions, well, at least we know one person will be blessed. What about 2, 3, 4, 6, 12? And what if God shows up without all the histrionics and drama and the crazy schemes that some of these people are coming up with to draw people in? You want to have bathing suit day? This summer on a hot day, I'll write you an email. Come in your bathing suit. Won't that be a sight? Even Herman Melville wouldn't write a chapter like that in his book on Moby Dick. Whew. And it gets crazier and crazier. When God said that he would anoint his word, is not my word like a hammer that breaks the rocks in pieces and like a fire that consumes the wood? That's God's plan. And by the way, it is God's intention to bless his people if we obey what he says. Come with me to Deuteronomy chapter 13. Let's look at verse 18. When thou shalt hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God to keep all his commandments, which I command thee this day, to do that which is right in the eyes of the Lord thy God. There is the condition. So I'm going to put the word if in it. If when you hear the voice of the Lord, we came through Hebrews and Mark. Jesus said, if you have ears to hear, then hear this. Okay, in Hebrews, same thing. Now 18 is very similar. If when you hear the voice of the Lord your God to keep his commandments, then the blessing is going to come. All right, look at chapter 15 and verse 5. Only if, and there now we have the if again. Only if thou carefully hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe, to do all these commandments which I command thee this day. Obviously, this is talking about the Mosaic Law, but the application is identical. And just to remind you of people like Andy Stanley, you don't unhitch the Word of God from the Word of God. It's like the left hemisphere of the brain and the right hemisphere. I do understand that people do act like there's only half a brain in there, but in reality, there's two halves. And there's two separate operations for the left half and the right half. Just as there's two separate operations for the Old Testament and the New Testament, and they always have and they always will go together. Jesus said, heaven and earth shall pass away. My word shall not pass away. Amen. And don't think that I've come to destroy the law or the prophets. I've not come to destroy, but to fulfill. If my people, if there's obedience. Quickly, let me just tell you that here in this church, whenever counseling is needed for a problem, you know, obviously if it's a medical problem, I'm just maybe directing you on to who you should see as a doctor. Unless you want me to perform surgery in my office, we can give it a shot. But you're on your own after that. When you know, there's a problem, the only thing that I am not only qualified to do, but called to do is give biblical counseling. I'm not there to talk about, I mean, maybe part of the problem is you had a bad childhood. Then we talk about that. But I'm not there to chase down the history of your family to find out who all the nuts were, you know, on this tree here and all, you know. I'm going to get political for just a second. Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez says she was born in the Bronx. She was. But moved away when she was 5 to Yorktown Heights. I lived for 33 years in South Yonkers and the Bronx. And let me tell you what we refer to Yorktown Heights or anything up in that. Well, for us, it's way downstate in New York. It was the country. You take a trip up the bottom of the Taconic Parkway and you come to Yorktown Heights. And when you're living in South Yonkers, as I did for 33 years, that's the country. You see these beautiful homes. So I made a little meme, a picture of her house and a picture of mine. But I'm not going to make up a phony voice and tell y'all today how I feel. Then switch it to, hey, I'm from the Bronx. Where are you from? If you're from the Bronx, then talk like you're from the Bronx. But if you left there when you were 5 years old, talk like you're from Yorktown Heights, because that's where you're from, Yorktown Heights. Me, I'm from Yonkers. Or we say Yonkers. What are you? Yonkers. So if you're going to say anything, say it right. Yonkers. And we don't have radiators. They are radiators. In Brooklyn, of course, they're turlets, and you go on and on. So you know where somebody's from. Hey, did you fix the turlet? Now I'm lost. Holy moly. We are living in the midst of idiots. Like Mark Twain said, he said, reader, suppose for a moment you were an idiot. And then suppose you were a member of Congress. But I repeat myself. I mean, we have to start to come to the realization, are these people actually putting us on because they think that we're idiots? Or are they really that stupid? I don't know. It's the razor's edge. But I can say one thing. I could show you the house I grew up in. I'll show you a picture of it. Picture is plural of the places I lived. If thou carefully hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God. And by the way, I can now connect the thoughts finally. You see the house that I live in? You know, this will give you an example of pastoring people, how much fun it is. When my neighbor who moved in, I don't know, 20-something years ago, when they were digging the foundation for that house, which we didn't know that that was a building lot, I told you how people were driving past saying, Pastor Ray's putting in an Olympic swimming pool. These are Christians now. I guess they figured I took all the tithes and the offering like a thief, and I'm not a thief. Again, if I want to make money, I'm leaving here to go out and make money. I'm not here for your money. I'm here for you. That's a whole lot worse. I want to see you dedicated. I want to see you become 100%. I want to see you give your life to Christ. I want to see you do something to make a difference and make a change. I don't want your money. I need it, but I don't want it. If I want to make money, I will make money, and I can do it. Anyway, when we moved here, we had arrived to the country. And the congregation in front of me at the time would always say, oh, no, Pastor, this is the city. I said, this ain't the city. Or they would warn me about bad neighborhoods. I said, you don't have any bad neighborhoods. I've taken a few people through trips through the neighborhoods where I grew up. And the only exception is that guy sitting back there who was, what did he say? What did you tell me? You were feeding off the vibes? And I said, what are you, crazy? It was 100 million degrees, sweating and cars and all that stuff. And he was actually impressed because he's from L.A. When I moved up here, grass everywhere. You go out 29 or 67, you see grass and you see cows. And we parked our car. We had like a Beverly Hillbillies car when we first got here. And then we were just chugging along and there was a cow. And we stopped. And our mouths, you know, like Patrick on SpongeBob. Holy moly. You know, it was incredible. But you know, all these years, now I've been here 32 years now. So half my life down there in the city and half my life up here, just about. I still appreciate the beauty of the trees and the grass and the open spaces and the fact that if we want something, you travel a few little miles to go get it, and then you travel back to the Ponderosa. My little ranch and my wife's little ranch there, you know. A backyard with swings. You know, we had to take a trip a couple blocks over to go on swings, and then you had to fight off all the bullies in the neighborhood to get on one. Or they fight you to get off one, and so it is. If we want God to bless us, we must be compliant to the conditions of the promise. We have to make sure that we are, and it said here, diligence. We read it before, diligence. We need to be diligent in our compliance. Turn with me to the book of Exodus and chapter 19. You know, we could go through hundreds of verses, but it's really not necessary to make the point. The point is if you call up and you're not happy with your service for whatever, and the person on the other end says, well, sir, if you have a complaint, please call this number. So that means I got to call that number. The number that I just called is not the complaint department. If you have a complaint, then call this number. And I say, I didn't call the number. I call the same number back repeatedly. And they say, well, did you try 1-800 and all that? And I didn't. When they told me, if you have a complaint, then call this number. Well, it's an example of what if means, though I think it's self-explanatory. But in Exodus chapter 19, verse 5, now therefore, if ye will obey my voice indeed and keep my covenant, then ye shall be a peculiar treasure unto me above all people, for all the earth is mine. Well, you know, just the last part of that verse is such a great comfort. Who owns the earth? And everybody rallies behind their borders and who took over and everybody's arguing and all the ethnic groups and who stole what and killed who. And God says, well, I got bad news for everybody. The earth is mine. Planet earth is mine. And I give it to whom I please. He gave the land that Israel occupies or will occupy in the future because it's his planet. And it's his prerogative. I was sharing again with my wife this principle that I want you to hear. That God can speak to him and not to her. In the same message, speak to her and not to him, and so forth. Because that's the prerogative of God. When you have an ear to hear, God says, okay, you hear it, but everybody listening, this is just an example, but everybody listening, they won't get it, but I want you to get it. I don't think that I'm a self-centered person, and I don't think I'm a selfish person. But when it comes to Jesus and he's giving out blessings, I want them. If somebody says, well, Pastor, we need to have a business meeting about that and vote on it, you vote on it. You have a meeting. I'm not coming. I want the blessing. Let me tell you one more story. There was a time in the fun and games period of my pastorate up here in Amsterdam. I had a whole long slew, years of fun and games with people who complained I was making too much money. Which, by the way, I came from the Bronx pioneering a church with nothing. I started the church literally with nothing. And we prayed things through. And you would never believe me in a million years if I tell you that God actually answered prayers. We prayed for a building. We got a building. Psst, nothing down. Of course, we had to pay the mortgage that came with it. And on. God kept supplying our needs. Wow, wow, what a surprise. You mean the book actually works? Yes, it does. Well, anyway, somebody decided, you know, because my wife and I had taken not one but two trips to Hawaii and one to Rome. And how do you afford that on pastor's salary? Well, my wife won those trips. She had a small little side business and she did so well in sales as she typically always has done. And she won the trip. So I went along. Well, somebody in the congregation objected to it. So I decided to go public with it. I said, it wouldn't matter if every person on the planet wants to stop me. And I said, me. Of course, my wife was taking me from going to Hawaii. God has opened the door. No man can shut it. Which, by the way, made the beach even warmer and the sun shined even brighter to know that somebody was upset. That Pastor Ray, once again, in fact, somebody once called me God's brat. Not because I'm bratty. I mean, you know better. I'm a good guy. But because of the fact that I got answers to prayer and they didn't. Well, that's too bad. Because the price that I've paid has been very high, very high. But I refuse to give in. I refuse to give up. I refuse to sit back and do nothing while, forgive me, nitwits take over the world, take over the church, take over the Congress. I'm not going to sit back. But when it comes to this word, I'm going to believe God for myself. For myself. And if I'm blessed, you'll be blessed, at least to a certain degree, but that's not the point. I'm believing God for myself. If I lack peace, I'm believing God for peace for me. When I'm sick, and I know that so many of you have prayed for me on all these issues, and believe me, God has answered your prayers. Last Friday, last Monday, my stomach was really hurting bad, very bad. You know what I did? I was taking my mother home. Mama! I had to find a safe place in the woods. I sat there and I said to myself, I will not give in. I don't care if my stomach explodes, which it felt like it was very close. It was a pain, a very difficult pain. Christ is my healer. And I'm not saying that you should follow my example. I'm only talking for myself. I decided that if Christ is the healer, he's the healer. So I quoted from Exodus 15:26. And you said, God, none of these diseases will I bring upon thee, which I have brought upon the Egyptians, if, and there it is, and you can look it up in Exodus 15:26, if thou will diligently hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God, and keep his statutes and his commandments, and do all these things and so forth, then will I put none of these diseases upon thee, which I have brought upon the Egyptians, for I am the Lord thy God that healeth thee. And here's the kicker. Jesus Christ, the same. Yesterday. If you know the verse, say it with me. It's okay. No, 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 no. We have to say it together. Remember Lawrence Welk? A one and a two and a three and a four. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. Forever. Hallelujah. Lord, we bless you today. We praise you today. Great is the Lord and greatly to be praised. God is great and greatly to be praised. Come on, let's give it to the Lord. Another hand clap offering. Hallelujah. 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 Let's join hands as we close the service. Hallelujah. Father, you didn't create us in Christ to be cowards, and you didn't create us to be rude, but we need to be able to speak clearly in this generation, and lucidly, no equivocation, no mediation of the Word of God, without amendment, God, cause your people to rise up and praise you. Cause your people to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And the cross will still be applied, and the road will still be rough, and the wilderness experience of Israel will be ours from time to time. Certainly the cross of Christ will be ours. But Lord, somehow as you get older, it just doesn't matter. As long as we know that Jesus is Lord.
Amen.
God, I ask you to bless everyone on their way home. Give them safe traveling mercies. Let them remember what they prayed here and take it home and believe you. Let me get emails of testimonies of changes that have taken place in the heart and the mind and the body, the family, whatever, the job. And God, we give you all the praise, all the glory, and all the honor. In Jesus' name, amen.